Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another edition of the Ecclesia Televangelist Hour. I am your host, Michael Dixon. Happy to be here tonight. Again, our new televangelism ministry. This is going on for a few months now, it feels like. Still don't like preaching to a screen, but we don't have much choice, so here we are. I hope this finds you doing well. It's been beautiful weather out. We've been enjoying the outside as much as we can. I hope you have been as well. But I'm glad that you get a chance to kind of tune in and we get a chance to connect. For those of you that are part of Ecclesia on a normal basis, keep an eye out on your email. Keep an eye on text messages that have gone out that will give a address for a Zoom account and a password. So that afterwards, if you'd like to join us on the Zoom, you can do that. And make sure you have your name as your username on the Zoom so we know to admit you in case, you know, we've heard some weird stories about people crashing them and doing all kinds of stuff. So we're trying to avoid that and verify people before we let them in that Zoom meeting after this. But, we are continuing along in things. I should take some time, as I have been the last couple weeks, letting you know that if you do not know about Ecclesia Hattiesburg, if you've never been to Ecclesia Hattiesburg, welcome to this live stream. Normally, we meet on Sunday nights at Parkway Heights Methodist Church, and we share space there, meet in their sanctuary, and meet at 5 o'clock on Sundays. And we are a non-denominational community. We are committed to serving the community, and we are committed to the idea that everybody is welcome, that we are better off with you in the room, no matter who you are, where you come from, or what's going on. I think last week, someone made the pun, we're better off with you in the Zoom, which I like. That's a good COVID joke. So, know that you're welcome. You're welcome to hang out and watch here. Go back and watch the old ones. Catch up on old podcasts that we had uploaded before. And just be a part of things to whatever extent you can. And when the time comes, hopefully we can all see each other again in person pretty soon. Man, I'm looking forward to that day. I miss hanging out with you guys a lot. So we have been, everything else is kind of business as usual. Things have been going fine at Ecclesia. We appreciate those of you that are still making it a point to give, to try and keep things rolling while we're not meeting in person. And so we look forward to more great things this year, even in the midst of all this kind of craziness we're in right now. All right, so we are rolling through the Lord's Prayer. When I say rolling, I mean slow rolling. I'm seeing that some people are having problems hearing. If you're hearing and they're not, go ahead and you may want to refresh or check the volume on your computer, which has been a part of the problem. A couple of times people had to reload the page. So, we're rolling through the Lord's Prayer. And so, we started this a long time ago, it feels like. And, actually, it was a long time ago. We started off kind of slow and working our way through it. And so we've talked about, today we're going to be at the Our Daily Bread portion of the Lord's Prayer. And as we continue to talk through the Lord's Prayer, I want you to remember that one of the first things we started off on is the idea that the Lord's Prayer is something that we do each week. It's something we commit to each week. And the reason why we use the Lord's Prayer is because, one, Jesus taught it. Obviously, that's important. But it's also, if you really begin to break it down and look at it, as we have been doing, you realize that it is a great tool for us, a great formation tool to get us out of our hyper-individualism, out of our hyper-consumption, out of the things that tend to take our focus off of what we believe Jesus is calling us to. We are intended to be more we people than me people. And one of the things that really turned my attention towards this prayer in a more specific way, we'd always said it in church growing up. We'd always had it a bunch, and I knew it by heart because we said it all the time, but I never really thought through what I was saying. And this is not a very contemporary reference, but several years back in like 2000, I think it was, so man, 20 years ago, there was this little book that came out, less than 100 pages, and the book was called The Prayer of Jabez, J-A-B-E-Z, and it was written by a guy named Bruce Wilkinson, and this little book, like, caught fire, right? Everybody was getting it and talking about it and doing studies on the prayer of Jabez. And the prayer of Jabez, for those of you who don't know who Jabez is in the Bible, congratulations, you're part of the 99% that had no idea who Jabez was before this book came out. It's basically like, you know, you're in the begats, the so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so in First Chronicles. And right in the middle, there's this little saying about someone named Jabez, and it talks about a prayer that Jabez prayed, and then moves right on. And there's no other mention of him. There's really no reason to focus in on it for any particular reason. But this prayer and this short little book about this prayer just took off. Prayer of Jabez was everywhere. It sold something like 9 million copies, or maybe more than 9 million copies. I think it got the gold medallion book for that year. And what was it? I think it grossed something like $93 million, right? It was a huge deal. And the prayer essentially for this prayer of Jabez, the prayer was, and this is my a little more concise version, although it's pretty short. Bless me, increase my territory, keep your hands on me, keep me from the evil one. It was very me-centered, right? It was very, it just something that we all glommed onto. People liked it, it appealed to them, and man, it took off. There was Prayer of Jabez, there's Prayer of Jabez for kids, there's Prayer of Jabez like Bible covers, and Prayer of Jabez for teens and for women and for stay-at-home moms, and scratch and sniff Jabez, and tickle me Jabez dolls, and I don't know which one of those are true, but some of those are almost certainly true. And for the defense of the author and the producers of the book, it greatly increased their territory, right? I mean, it was one of those kind of prosperity gospel kind of things. You just name it and claim it. You pray that God gives you more, and God gives you more, and then you're successful, and you have more money, and you have more, a better business, and you have all these kinds of things, right? And it sold like hotcakes. It was all about me and my. And I remember when that came out, and someone gave me a copy of it because they knew I was going to go into ministry. And I remember reading it and just thinking, this doesn't feel right at all. And I know it's out of the Bible, but it just doesn't feel right. And then reflecting on the idea that, wait a minute, we've got a prayer of Jesus, right? We've got something that Jesus said, here is how I want you to pray. This is the way prayer should go. And the fact that Jesus has a prayer is reason enough to not spend much time on the prayer of Jabez. But what I realize is that the prayer of Jabez really appeals to us on a deeper level, because it's what we want prayer to be, as opposed to what Jesus taught us prayer was, right? And I think today, as we get into this Our Daily Bread, we're going to break that down and think about that. I think you'll start to see why this prayer is really very potent and very much works against what we normally want for prayer, right? So let's look through it again and just think through it, although most of you know it. It says this, the Lord's Prayer out of Luke, and then verse 9 it says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And so we're continuing to walk through this today. And this week, I want to focus on our daily bread. Our daily bread. And I'm gonna make the argument that of that little phrase, our daily bread, there's going to be three main things that are difficult for us. Three main points of stress for me, points of disagreement for me, points that challenge me. Three main things that challenge me in this idea of our daily and bread. Problem number one. I think problem number one for me is our. our, right? And I know we spent an entire week on the word our in week one, and I am sorry about that. I'm sorry we started off so slowly. If you want to hear us talk about our, there is a podcast that covers that. So you may think, hey, why do we need to revisit it? We spent an entire week on this word. But this is another place in the prayer where the word our, O-U-R, 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 is our. Say it with me three times real loud. There's another place where that little word our, it sticks. There's something there that's a little bit difficult for me, right? Because here, I'm going to be honest with you. In general, I do not believe in such a thing as our bread. I don't believe in such a thing as our food, right? I believe in my food. I believe in my burger and my fries, that you can keep your hands on your plate and I'll eat what's on my plate because that's my food. I believe in my food. I believe in my, let's just imagine together, remember back in the good old days, like my chorizo tacos with chips and salsa. Remember when we could just go and eat tacos and all the chips you want? It was beautiful, wasn't it? I can't wait till we get to do that again. But that's my food. I believe in my food, not our food, right? Our daily bread is a strange turn of phrase because ultimately I'm a lot like my six-year-old daughter, Lillian. Lillian, if it's on her plate, that is her food, right? That's her food. If I reach over and grab something off my daughter's plate, she is not happy about it because I am taking her food. So she knows that food on her plate is her food. And she also knows that anything on Sarah's plate or on my plate is our food. All right? Anything on her plate is her food. Anything on Sarah's plate is our food. She gets real communal real fast when it comes to what's on our plate, right? And that's kind of how it works for me. I really believe more in my food than our food, unless, of course, it's on your plate, at which point you should share with me. And I, at different points in my life, I've taken this to extremes. I used to have a roommate who I was good friends with, probably shouldn't have lived with. And it was someone who managed to not work hardly ever, and by great effort, and who didn't really pay bills on time and didn't have food in the fridge very often. And groups of us would be like, hey, let's go out to eat dinner. And that person, that roommate would always say, hey, I'll come with. And we knew what was going to happen. What was going to happen is we'd all get our food and we would all be eating. And when we started to slow down or it looked like we were done, my roommate would go, oh, hey, are you going to finish that? And then he'd grab the plate and he would just finish off what we were eating. And that's fine, right? I mean, you're done with it. What do you need it for? But it just got at me. I was like, you know, why don't you get a job? Why don't you pay for your own food? Why are you eating my food? And so I got to where, I'm not proud of this. I'm not saying it's very Jesus-like, but I got to where I'd be eating a meal and he would have come and no, I don't want anything. I'll just sit here, AKA I'm gonna finish other people's food. And I would be full. I wouldn't want any more. There'd be a few more bites on my plate, but I'd pretend like I was gonna keep eating. And then right when the waiter or waitress would come by, I'd grab my napkin, cram it on top of the food and hand him the plate. Then he'd go, oh, I would have eaten that. And I'd go, oh man, I'm sorry. I didn't know, you know, because it was my food. He didn't need to eat my food, right? I am more of a my bread kind of person than an our bread. And what does that mean? On a weekly basis, we pray for our daily bread. That is a strange phrase for us, let's be honest. In our time and age and kind of the problems, the situation we have in regards to food, our bread, my bread. I mean, I'm someone who has more than I could ever possibly need in regards to food, right? I mean, I've cleaned out my pantry before and found food that had expired years before that I had to throw out. I mean, like, it had moved with me from one place to the next, and I'm throwing it out like a decade after it was supposed to be eaten, right? Just an abundance. I have more than I could possibly want. And you remember back when we talked, and a lot of today's talk is going to honestly run real parallel to that, to manna talk we had. We were in the desert for a couple of weeks, a couple of weeks back. And you remember we talked about the manna. We talked about if the world were 100 people and the world's ability to care for itself, the world's resources were 100 sandwiches, right? So all the world is 100 people. All the world's resources is 100 sandwiches. Then we as Americans would only make up 5 of those 100 people. But we would eat 24 of the 100 sandwiches, right? Us 5 Americans would get almost 5 sandwiches each, right? We talked about that. That's our daily context for living. How do we understand the Lord's Prayer? How do we understand our daily bread in the midst of the fundamental understanding that I'm entitled to five sandwiches compared to everyone else, right? I mean, I'm not eating five of my 100 sandwiches. I'm eating five of our 100 sandwiches, right? It's a whole different way of looking at things. Our may only be three little letters, but it undercuts the assumptions of the entire world that we live in this first world America, all we could ever want kind of place, right? So problem number one I have with our daily bread, and I'll say even though I'd like to say we, but I'm not going to throw you under the bus. You're probably more holy than I am. But problem number one I have is with the word our. So problem number two I have with our daily bread. Problem number one is the word our. Problem number two is the word daily. And you can probably see where this is going. So our daily bread, right? What we are praying when we pray this part of the Lord's Prayer is we are praying that God will give us what we need for today. Give us what we need for today, right? And you have to understand, when we pray this, we're actually requesting dependence. We're praying that God will provide for us, and we're praying that God will provide for us what we need today, daily. Right? So we're, first of all, we're requesting and professing dependence. We're confessing that God provides our needs, not us. And we're requesting that God gives us enough for just today. In other words, virtually everyone that's listening to me right now or watching this, by the virtue of the fact that you have internet and you have a pantry with food in it, a good amount of food in it, almost all of us are praying for less. Because I've got way more than one day's worth of food in my pantry, right? I already have way more than what I need for my daily needs, which makes this a strange thing to pray when you're in our situation, right? It does seem a little strange to ask for a tiny amount of something that we have tons of. If Bill Gates walked up to you and asked you to give him $1,000, I know that's basically how he got rich, right? He asked all of us for $1,000 via computers. But if Bill Gates just walked up on the street and said, hey, give me $1,000, write me a check for $1,000 right now, you would not want to write that check. That would be a strange thing for him to ask. He's got more $1,000 than he knows what to do with, right? It's like, you know, praying. If someone got up in front of church and prayed that they might have a penny the next day, afterwards you pull them aside and say, what are you talking about? Go to any cash register in town and there's going to be a little plastic thing next to it with the pennies that people just didn't even want because it takes up too much room in their ashtray in their car. We have so many. What do we even need pennies for? At this point, can we just round up to nickels and get it over with, right? How do we even pray about daily bread when we have so much food that we've basically invented new ways of getting sick in the world, right? All of our leading killers in our society, most of them are because we have more to eat than we could ever possibly need, right? And then we just throw out the rest. So it feels a little disingenuous as someone who's throwing out as much food as I am to pray, dear God, give me what I need today. Give me this penny's worth of food. Give me this little bit of something that I already have more of than I can possibly do with. Right? Because I live under this false impression that it never runs out. I live under this false impression that I'm somehow independent, that I'm somehow providing for myself, right? We all live under this sense of independence and there's no end to it. And as we said before, when we were talking about the desert, this is why we all freak out when we're robbed of that illusion, right? The moment it feels like things might not be there forever, that we might not be able to provide all we could ever want for ourselves, we freak out and buy all the toilet paper we can. We freak out and you know, buy all the hand sanitizer you could possibly get your hands on, right? Maybe one of the gifts of this whole COVID thing is going to be that we won't be quite so cavalier with what we know isn't limitless. Maybe we'll take a little more care of that which is so abundant for us that we can treat it like it has no value whatsoever. I mean, have you ever been someplace or been in a situation where you literally didn't know where your food would come from, or you didn't know when you would eat again or how it would show up? Most of us have never really been in that position. I imagine if we were, the give us this day our daily bread would take on an entirely different meaning. What does it mean for us to pray that, right? We have this danger that comes with abundance, forgetting that every good gift comes from God, forgetting that it's not ours, it's not mine, it's ours, right? One of the things that bothered me the most about this high school I went to, it was like this college prep school, and it was filled with kids who had a lot more money than I did. Well, their families did, right? And I went to this small school, graduated like, I think it was 80 people, and tons of them got like brand new BMWs for their 16th birthdays, or got cars that were way more valuable than anything my parents ever owned, and that could pay for college. And they got on their 16th birthday. And granted, I had a chip on my shoulder because I was kind of Napoleon Dynamite style, still riding in the back of the bus with like, you know, third graders my senior year, which was, you know, not great for your reputation with the ladies. But one of the things that bothered me most is when I would get kind of picked on a little bit or picked at for it, is I'd get jokes made at me for not having a car, or if my friends who had cars that didn't have nice cars would kind of get jokes made at them, and you want to be like, man, that's, you didn't buy that car. Well, you've been working at Chick-fil-A every day and bought yourself a brand new BMW on your 16th birthday? I don't think so. That's not yours. That was given to you, right? How do you take so much pride in something that's given to you? How do you feel entitled so much to something that you didn't work to earn? It was just given as a gift, right? And yet that's kind of where we are. I'm not saying we are powerless. God gives us domains, as we talked about. We have our kingdoms. We have the places that we've been entrusted with. We are participants, but we are always the created and not the creator, right? This prayer, this portion of the prayer, our daily, this portion of the prayer reminds us that we are, in fact, dependent. That yes, we have some freedom and autonomy and responsibility. Yes, so does my six-year-old. But she's still my child. She's still dependent upon me. We are still God's beloved children. We still depend on the graciousness and the generosity of our God. And we should have the humility and the grace that follows from that truth. Everything we have is a gift. And not treat it so flippantly or like we have deserved it more than someone else. So problem number one is our, with our daily bread. Second part of our daily bread that I struggle with is daily. And this won't surprise you, but the third part I struggle with is bread, right? So apart from the problematic words of our and daily, the final issue I have is with the word bread. And here's the other kicker to this prayer. Like, because it's a weird thing to think about is like, what? Let me ask you this. What if you only had bread to eat this week? Now, would you feel cared for? Would you feel blessed? Would you be excited about that idea? And some of you are like, yeah, I've been on keto for 6 months. This is like my dream come true. Apart from you keto folks, you know, who have been dreaming about nothing but daily bread. Apart from you low carbers, does anyone really just want enough bread to live this week? I don't. I mean, think about what you request when you request only daily bread. Right? I don't know about you. The truth is, that's not what I want from God. I don't want God to just give me enough bread to get by every day. I want a lot more variety than that. I want something that's a lot tastier than that. And I want a lot more of it. Truth is, I don't really want God to provide my basic daily needs. That is not my prayer. That is almost never my prayer. I mean, bread and water is what we give prisoners to punish them, right? I want God to give me a lot of what I want, not enough of what I need. Again, I want God to give me a lot of what I want, not enough, not just enough of what I need. And this is kind of built into our DNA. It's built into our DNA as wealthy people. And we are wealthy people by global standards and historic standards. We are all wealthy people, right? And we think in terms of wants and not needs. I mean, can you even picture what it would look like if our sincere prayer each day was, God, just please give us enough of what we need for today. Just enough of what we need for today. I mean, something catastrophic has to happen in our life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, for us to get to that point of prayer. We are trained to think that you are not blessed if you only have enough. Only having enough, there's something wrong with that. We're supposed to have more than enough. We're supposed to have an abundance at all times. We're supposed to be able to waste it and never think about it. That's the good stuff, right? Our daily bread. I mean, that little phrase should stick in our throats when we say it. That is so contrary to how we actually live, how I actually live. And all that is to say that this prayer is meant to challenge us, right? It is meant to form us into something different, to get us to look at the world from a different lens than the one that's been handed to us as very privileged Americans. There's nothing wrong with being privileged. There's nothing wrong with being American. But it does change the way we look at the world. And I think this prayer is intended to correct that. Maybe if we really believed in our daily bread, we would finally take seriously Christ's teaching on literally feeding each other, right? Matthew 25 says, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When did we see you hungry and give you something to eat? Whatever you've done unto the least of these, you have done unto me. In John 21, when Jesus asks Simon Peter, do you really love me? And he says, yes. He responds with, okay, feed my sheep. Ezekiel 34, the sovereign Lord says, in this quote, woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. In Acts 6, when the early church forms, we see that one of the first things they're doing is they're taking daily distributions of food. They're gathering the food, and they're making sure everyone has their daily bread. In fact, they need to find new people, hire new staff, so to speak, to make sure this distribution is happening. That's where Stephen comes in before he's murdered. Right? So the good news is that while we do really struggle with those three minor parts of our daily bread, namely our daily and bread, I mean, other than that, we don't have much to worry about, right? The good news is that God is trying to form us into a different kind of people. That we really can become our daily bread kind of folks, even in a world of my, in a world of more than I could possibly need today, in a world of abundance that we feel entitled to. We can become our daily bread kind of people. This isn't just a prayer. This isn't just something we say because you're supposed to say it because Jesus said so. It's formation. It's discipleship. It's a theology, a way of looking at ourselves in the world that is intended to make us a different kind of people. And unfortunately, Christianity often and a practice of our religion has made us more individualistic, has made us more privatized, has made us more spiritually minded, thinking about heaven and the great by and by, as we talked about last week, instead of what's going on here and now, the world that God loves so much that he came and dwelt in it. Unfortunately, our practice of religion often takes us farther away from the mission God has called us to here. And the prayer for our daily bread can help reel us back in. I'm going to read a quote to you from a guy named Brian McLaren. And this is one of those quotes that to me has always been so challenging, especially as a minister whose job it is to try and call people towards building God's kingdom here in the world. And it says this, and if I had a means of doing it, I would show you the quote on the screen, but we don't roll that deep in regards to technology. So McLaren quote says this, and I can post this later on so you guys see it. If our theologies make us focus only on the eternal and the individual, i.e. getting to heaven, so that we avoid God's concern for the historic and global, i.e. God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven, then the more people we win over to our theologies, the fewer people will care about God's world here and now. The more converts we make, the worse the world becomes. If God really cares about justice in this world, here and now, and if we are converting people away from that concern, then we are working against God. We could inadvertently become enemies of God's wishes. Right? Point being that if we are so formed by the American dream, if we are so formed by our sense of deserving abundance at all times, if we are so formed by that way of looking at the world, and then we attach Jesus' name to it, and we call other people to that community, what we are doing is we are discipling people away from Jesus. We are discipling people away from what God wants. And that's where Our Daily Bread for me is such an important idea. It helps call me back towards the heart of whom God is and what God wants for us. As we pray something as revolutionary as give us this day our daily bread. Dear God, please give us our daily bread. That should be opening us up to new ways of living in this world. New ways that God is still trying to form us and reform us. This Lord's Prayer is not something to take lightly. We need to think about what we are saying. And as we consider this, maybe we can be converted towards what God cares about the most and lead others to do the same. Our daily bread. Now again, I know if you're anything like me, it's a difficult thing to understand how I can even really orient my life around these ideas, right? And what I never want to do, I don't believe a sermon should ever do, is just send you home feeling terrible about yourself or feeling guilty or feeling like you just missed it completely with no good news. We are talking about good news here. And I would say this idea of getting into this mindset is good news. We all know that the give me more, abundance, I deserve it all, that is no path to a full life. And the good news is we're living in a time right now where there are very practical, direct steps you can make to be an Our Daily Bread kind of person. I know right now our local food pantries and soup kitchens are seeing huge jumps in the amount of people that are waiting in line, sometimes long lines, in order to just get enough food for that day. They need their daily bread. And some of us have more than we need. Some of us haven't missed a paycheck. Some of us, in fact, are probably saving money because we're not eating out at restaurants, as terrible as that is. Some of us have the ability to not think about, hey, I'm good on my bread, and begin to think about how can we provide our daily bread. So here's what I'm going to ask you to consider doing. I'm going to do it. Think about what you can do. And if you can't do anything, if you're not in that place, that's fine. But in order for us to be our daily bread kind of people, this week, consider making sure that other people have their needs met. If your needs are met, if you have everything you need for today, how do you help make sure everyone else has what they need for today? How can we think about it communally, our daily bread? For those of you that aren't familiar, locally here in Hattiesburg, Edward Street Fellowship Center, Christian Services. These are both groups that are every day feeding people who need it. And there are more and more people who need that kind of food. You can cut a check or bring some cash by to either one of those places, and they will give people the daily bread that they need. If you are at the store, you can buy healthy vegetables and canned vegetables, stuff that's shelf stable. You can buy peanut butter, pasta. You can buy any of the good. Don't buy the garbage that no one wants. Don't clear out yourself of stuff that you don't want to eat and that's out of date. Don't do that. Don't be that person. But make sure that we are thinking about needs communally, our daily bread. We can post links to both of those places and how to give to them financially. Or if you're at the store and you can go and get some extra food, just bring it by. I know Caroline actually would be happy to hand that off to Ann, who helps run Edward Street as their neighbors. And cash, food, you name it, they need it because our neighbors need their daily bread. So let's not be content with the fact that, like, hey, it's fine. I got all I need. It's not my, it's our daily bread. And if we have more than we could possibly need today, then maybe we need to share a little bit. All right. Again, those of you that are part of Ecclesia, we're going to have a Zoom meeting after this and kind of catch up and talk a little bit. And those of you who are joining us who are not a part of the community, thanks for joining us, and know that you're welcome anytime to jump in on the live streams or to visit us in person in 2025 when we get to see each other again. Thank you for being a part of this, and thank you for being here. I'm getting ready to sign off here, and then we will head over to the Zoom meeting. But be well. God bless you. Know that we're better off with you in our lives. So please stay connected to us. God bless. We love you.